Do it live.
Please won't you be my neighbor? Neighbor and friend.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Jeremy Tromberg, Esmeralda Leone. Welcome. So, it's a very small world. We have great, great, great guests tonight. We have the music of Tangleweed, and they've been rehearsing on the back patio all evening, and it's just delightful. We have the comedy of Michael Palasak, a very funny man. Stick around for him alone. And we have Nell Taylor, who is the founder of the Chicago Underground Library. And what the Chicago Underground Library is, forgive me, Nell, for I will butcher this. It's this great resource for all these books and publications and whatever that doesn't really fit in any other type of library. And one of those things are zines. Does everyone know what a zine is? No? Okay. A zine is what really angry people produce and photocopy and pass out to their friends because they have something to say. And I had something to say. When I was 17, I did my first zine. It's called Foul. And it was all about George W. Bush stealing the 2000 election. And I knew that I could make a difference if I just published my zine. So I published my zine. And I walked around my Catholic school and handed out my zine. And 2 hours after the first issue came out, my principal pulled me down to the office and said, if you do this again, we're kicking you out because this is a private school. And I go, what about free speech? He goes, you pay so you don't have free speech. So, like any angry 17-year-old would do, I put out a lot of issues in my zine. I'm very not proud of any of them. They're quite awful. I don't know how anyone would read them. Yet I continue to do it. And about a year later, I was at the Fireside Bowl because I am a stereotype. And I met one of the best people in the world. I met Billy Roberts. And Billy Roberts ran Loop Distro. And that's a thing that he collects all these zines and then sells them on his websites and goes and tables at places. And he's one of the most important people in the zine community. The reason why I mentioned Billy Roberts so much is because Billy used to wear a bunny suit. And he had two bunny suits. He had his normal, everyday bunny suit, kind of raggedy bunny suit. That'd be for, like, yard work and stuff. And then he had a very nice, fancy bunny suit that he would wear. By the way, my girlfriend just walked in from D.C., so that's very nice of her. Woo! Oh, wait, Kelsey, let me give you something so the crowd likes me more and will probably laugh. Hold on. Okay, so here you go. I know. Here you go, honey. There you go. Now you feel bad. Okay. So Billy Roberts wore a bunny suit. He had two bunny suits. This didn't bother me. The smells of other zinesters didn't bother me. The angry ramblings didn't bother me. In fact, I bonded with these insane people for years, and I love them. And then I stopped. I stopped doing zines because I came to the Hungry Brain, and I met Emerson Dameron. And Emerson Dameron used to be here, and then he invited me, so I would come, and we would hang out. We would hang out at the Hungry Brain, and we would do awful things, like talk about other zinesters and gossip like tweens do over Justin Bieber. That's what we did. It was delightful. But there's only so much gossiping you could do in the zine format, so I decided to start You, Me, Them, Everybody. And that's what you're at. You're at You, Me, Them, Everybody Live. And if you don't like this show, I apologize. But just think, if you don't like this show, blame George W. Bush. It all stems from him. If it's not good, I apologize. We can do this, everybody. McCain 08, let's make it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Tromberg on the piano. Perfect. Good job, Jeremy. I'm proud of you. Every single night you're up here, I get prouder and prouder of you. In fact, you're the reason why I want to breed, because if I could have a son or daughter like you, I'll be very happy. Just as long as I could afford vests and fedoras, I'll be fine. That's a visual gag that no one will get. Okay, Esmeralda. Esmeralda and I do a podcast in my tiny West Town apartment, and we're going to do a mini version of that show right now. So, Esmeralda, what's our story for the day?
All right, well, there's a year-long study that was done. That men, and this is polite, with higher body mass indexes last 7 minutes longer than slender men. Essentially, fat guys are better at sex.
So what you're saying is a bunch of fat scientists did a study. The end.
probably did. They say that fat men have more female hormones.
So the bigger the tits, the longer you last, is what you're really saying. Why are you wearing a scarf? I'm sorry. Why are you wearing a scarf? Are you okay?
I'm dying.
You're dying? You're a very young lady.
Yeah,
why are you dying?
A couple nights ago, I got bit by something.
You got bit by something? Where do you live?
It's, apparently somewhere where the chupacabra might come get me.
So you were in Mexico, and they thought you were a goat.
Yeah, well,
and you got gnawed on.
I think I got the plague.
I don't think that's how the plague works.
Well, I'm dying. And I even have a death rattle.
You have a death rattle?
Yes, I'm all set for it. Here, listen.
Are you a smoker?
Isn't that
it just
a good
sounds
one?
Like you're a smoker. I don't think you're going to die.
I'm dying.
Why do you? I don't think it's that
just
bad.
Just accept it. You're going to have to do this by yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, death, everybody, death.
Oh, awesome.
Here you go, death.
So I'm dying.
Looks like you're about to buy the farm.
I hope so.
I'm here to collect the closing costs.
Yes, please.
Wait. What does that mean?
She's going to die.
She's really going to die, Dad?
Yeah.
And by the way,
hey,
is that
I
your catchphrase? Yeah, you can sit.
Yeah, that's my catchphrase.
You have
Do you like it?
You've been around for how long?
Million, 2 million years.
You've been around for that long, and that's the best catchphrase you could come up
with?
We
tried a bunch of other things, but that wasn't intimidating enough.
But paying taxes. George Steinbrenner's estate.
Everybody's afraid of taxes.
Not if you're dead.
Right.
Death, why are you here? Is she really going
to
die?
You're going to die, and I'm here to collect your soul.
That's why he's here. Right?
I don't think she sounds that bad. I think she'll be just fine.
Really?
Yeah, she sounds completely fine. She's really? Just a little under the weather.
Can you just breathe a little bit? I want to hear it.
Wait. Okay. Well, you know what? I think I am. I'm fine
I think fine she's going to be fine.
Well, I came all the way here.
Where'd you come from?
From hell.
Oh, Death Lives in Hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's right by Hoboken, New Jersey.
Okay. You've been to Jersey a lot.
Yeah.
I like Jersey.
Yeah, you would. I came all the way here. I have to collect somebody's soul if she's not dying.
Yeah, I'm fine now.
I think she's fine. She took the scarf off.
Yeah, I'm good.
One of you.
Death has a sense of humor, apparently.
Yes.
He doesn't know how to stay in character.
So I'm going to go out there and get a soul, and that's it for me.
Okay, thanks, Death. By the way, everybody, Death likes Miller Lite, so...
If you want to die, drink Miller Lite.
That actually is that's some good knowledge for the folks. If you want to die, drink Miller Lite, the only bottle that has the thing at the top that makes the beer come out faster.
And or Death will just want to come drink your beers.
Yeah, so go hang out with Death.
Hey.
Bye, Death. All right, our first guest coming up this evening is one of my favorite people in the city of Chicago, and she does this thing called the Chicago Underground Library that I completely butchered before. So rather than me just rant, let's bring her up. Everybody, please put your hands together for Nell Taylor, everybody. Nell Taylor. No matter. Here you go, Nell. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Nell Taylor and I have known each other for a long time.
We have.
I'm not as smart or as delightful as Nell Taylor. That's why you're on the show tonight.
I think I'm supposed to teach you to be nice.
You're supposed to teach me to be nice.
Why you had me...
You're good. Sorry.
I'm good?
You're good.
Okay.
Could everyone hear Nell?
Can everyone hear me?
Oh, that's good. I like when people could hear you, Nell. Okay, so Nell and I did an interview at the Printer's Ball, which is an event you run, and the tape didn't turn out well.
I think you started it, actually, with the exact same. Nell and I have known each other for a long time.
For a long time.
So I should actually know exactly how this should go, but I...
I should know how this is going to go, and I have no idea. Apparently,
so wait, what's
not
next?
Well, everybody, not well.
What's next in the conversation?
Let's go over this. What is the Chicago Underground Library?
The Chicago Underground Library, you sort of had it partially right. We do have a lot of zines. We do have a lot of things that you wouldn't normally find in other libraries. But the big difference with us is that we take absolutely everything within the Chicago area. We don't make any quality or importance judgments, which is why we have all your stuff.
Thank you. By the way, my stuff is at the front of the stage on sale tonight. They're not free. I am selling these because Kinko's lost a lot of money and somebody needs to be paid for all these copies.
So. How far back did those go?
2004 to 2007. Yeah.
Is that the entire range of everything you have left, or do you have
everything
stuff
I have
older
left?
Than
no,
that?
The rest is gone. I have no idea where they went because no one bought them or read them, so I don't know where they went. I didn't throw them out.
No.
Oh, I did. Did I ever tell you this? When I was in high school, I passed out my zine outside of a Megadeth signing at Rolling Stone Records on Harlem and Irving. It's open till midnight, everybody. So for all your CD needs in the year 2010, Rolling Stone Records. Anyways, I go to a Megadeth signing. This is when Foul was free. Foul's the zine. And I go up and down the line. I pass out probably 300 issues. And as I'm walking back, there's five little mini bonfires of my zine.
Did anyone ask you to sign them?
No. No one asked me to sign them. Here's the dumbest part. I went back 2 weeks later to do the same thing for a Korn signing. K-O-R-N, by the way.
Why did you think that was your core audience?
I didn't know. I'm real dumb.
Wait, K-U-R-N? Is that like a knockoff version of the...
That's the cover band.
New metal
They're
band?
Playing Aurora next weekend, the Korn
really?
Cover band. I'm sure. I could guarantee you that every other weekend there's a Korn cover band playing in Aurora, Illinois. Hmm. Thanks for letting me derail. Okay. Chicago Underground Library, you take everything.
We do take everything. We
Why?
Probably have a few Korn fanzines.
Oh,
cover bands and not cover bands. We take everything because we want to inspire all the 17-year-old Brandons of the world to step up their game, really, is why we do this.
So you just came on to challenge past me.
Yeah, actually, you know, I think that's challenging past versions of Brandon Weatherby. You know, you brought up the historic Billy, all of his different bunny permutations
yep.
and the different bunny suits. You know, I think when I first met you, I wouldn't have ever pictured you wearing a tie, let alone a boutonniere. So
how did I look when you first met me? You looked great. You still look good.
Oh, well, thank you.
You've aged quite well. Good job.
I appreciate that. I think the last time I was at the Hungry Brain and you were playing Mr. Rogers, it was New Year's in 2006, and we were all wearing pirate hats made out of Trader Joe's bags.
Yep.
So I think we've all kind of seen each other at high points and low points of personal appearance and togetherness. you're not the only one who derails things.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
It is.
It's great.
So CUL, what we do is... I love zines, of course.
Zines, everybody.
Zines. But the problem with zines, and Brandon can tackle me and smack me around for this later if he wants to. I'm not going to burn any of his stuff tonight. but the problem with zines is that zines and the idea that there's only one kind of specific version of what small and independent publishing means is that it sets up this complete false binary. And if anyone wants to know what that means, you can talk to me later.
Yeah. False binary.
False binary.
Figure that out.
That's like two
Rubes.
Things. You know, there's either one thing or the other. So, Rubes.
Yeah, Rubes.
Rubes. That's a great word.
Isn't it?
It is.
But isn't it not a good phrase?
I don't know. Isn't it Rubes? It's pretty good. I'm a big fan of those two words. So if there's only two versions of things, you miss out on 90% of what's actually being published, which is some pretty amazing stuff. We have almost 2,000 individual volumes in our collection. They range from a 50-year print run of tri-quarterly to handmade artist books to zines made by 13-year-olds to zines made by 6-year-olds. You know, people...
That doesn't seem right. If you're getting your parents to help you, you shouldn't be able to publish a zine.
Well, you know, you could get your parents to help you. You could get your teachers to help you in workshops.
If you're doing a zine, you should have no support whatsoever. You
Why?
Should be a real angry youth. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. It's like when people have supportive parents. I don't get that. Why would you do anything?
Well, that's what all the really awesome educators and workshop
yeah,
leaders
what's up
are
with
for.
That?
Is when you don't have those really awesome parents, or even when you do, because you can take stuff home with you. So what we try to do is we want to show everyone how all those things are related to one another. That, you know, you don't have to get to the point where you're Dan Brown or Stephen King or Danielle Steele for anyone to pay attention to you. I know I'm just listing off a few of Brandon's favorite authors, but, you know... It's you need to show people those sort of incremental steps to get from point A to point B. It can't just be you're either, you know, go big or go home. That works for some people. But, you know, in the creative arts community, we need to hear a lot of different people's voices. And we need a lot of different perspective because we don't hear that often enough. You know, one of the things that's great about You, Me, Them, Everybody, and the different
don't
things
pander.
That... I'm not pandering.
You're pandering.
I'm making up for all the shit that I've talked about you already this evening, so...
You can never talk enough
I'm
shit about
I'm cracking the equilibrium in my head right
What's
now.
What's cracking the equilibrium, everybody?
Tracking the tracking. Equilibrium.
I've been drinking.
Rube.
Thank you. Good job. Good.
You're welcome.
Continue.
Yeah. So...
You were complimenting...
One of the things that's great about this show and, you know, the homeroom stuff that goes on here and a lot of other things that are going on around town right now is people are really making an effort to hear each other out and to hear what different people have to say. There is a lot of anger out there, but it justifiably, you know, in some situations... You know, we're in a recession. There's
yeah, that's why I'm angry. We've been in a recession since ever, according to me. Just angry all the time.
The recession in your mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Since 82, we've been in a recession, everybody. It's not going well.
So, you know, what we try to do is to reflect all the rich culture that's out there in Chicago, not just one person's specific idea of what that is. So when we first got started, we would talk to fiction writers who are like, well, I've never met a poet. And, you know, poets who've never met visual artists. And, you know, none of those people interact with the theater community at all. So we wanted to try to create something where everybody could come together, at least in print form and in the form of their output before they were actually ready to see each other face to face because, you know, that might weird everybody out. So we try to look at the entire community in Chicago, going back as far as we can in history. And right now our collection dates back to 1909. That's the farthest back we can go.
What is it?
Our oldest book.
Yeah, what's it about?
Our oldest book is called Crumbs of Comfort. It is a very small leather-bound
book. Is it a prequel to Our Crumbs Life?
I wish it was. And in fact, perhaps it is because it is all Bible verses.
Is it Bible verses that deal with women with giant butts? Our Crumb like giant butts, everybody.
He does have that new book of Genesis out, which is pretty much Bible verses with women with giant butts. So
cool.
If that's your thing, I would recommend checking that out. Our Crumb, though, is not from Chicago. So to be part of the Chicago Underground Library, you have to have some connection to Chicago. Doesn't matter, you know, if you don't live here anymore, we still want it. We're all about those connections. So we track the way that people have influenced each other over time since we catalog by every single person.
Look at you helping the world.
We're trying.
Speaking of communities not ready to meet face to face, you do an amazing event. It's called the Printer's Ball. You do it with a few other people.
I do that with a hell of a lot of other people, yes.
And I remember the first year at Printer's Ball. Was it the Double Door? Or was it the second year?
That was the second year, but that was the first year I was involved.
The other ones are dead to me. The first year that you were involved is the only one that matters. That was at the Double Door, and that was a blast. And you've since moved down to Columbia College, and it was four floors or three floors?
This year it's three floors.
Three floors, every single inch packed with very interesting people. Crazy people, not crazy people. Everyone very nice. You even had free alcohol.
We did.
How did you do that? How does that work? How could I get free alcohol is what
well,
I'm really asking.
You know, I'm actually asking myself that same question all the time because the free alcohol part of the Printer's Ball is not actually my specialty. There's a couple people. We have an entire team devoted to free alcohol, which is maybe part of what makes the
Are
Printer's
they called
Ball
bands?
So special.
Sorry.
No, they're called, you know...
Poets,
actually, yes. Actually, they're called editors because if there's one person who wants free alcohol more than poets, it's editors. So
you don't know enough stand-up comics.
Do I what?
You don't know enough stand-up comics.
No, I don't.
Yeah, they like booze.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But they don't print anything. If they printed something,
too drunk.
You know, we would
Can't
have
type.
It.
Can't type it out. Not our next guest. Our next guest, not a lush. That's a surprise to everybody. Continue. Printer's Ball. It's an amazing event. It's every year.
Every year.
You just had it in September or August?
It was in July 30th,
Holy
actually.
Shit.
So we faked you out.
July 30th. I'm real tired now. I barely slept.
That's okay. August
months.
Is like, you know, if August is pretty much dead to me. So we're equal on the things
okay.
that are dead to us, friends.
Months are just dead. Entire months
yes.
of the year are dead.
Entire months.
What is the Printer's Ball in a nutshell?
The Printer's Ball, in a nutshell, is a collection of pretty much every single different publisher you'd find in Chicago. And this past year, we opened it up to national publishers. So it's a celebration of print media, but this was the first year that we're also trying to celebrate digital media. So there's a lot of different forms of publishing out there, which is something that the Chicago Underground Library certainly recognizes. And, you know, we do try to encourage people to think about publishing digitally, think about putting their work out there under Creative Commons, to really be aware of the possibilities out there. And this year's Printer's Ball was all about that too. So this was the first year that we featured blogs, featured online literary journals, and the CUL, which is what we call the Chicago Underground Library. And if you...
That's an acronym.
It is. And if you speak French, you'll know it means ass.
Like R. Crumb, he likes those.
He does. It all comes full circle.
Damn right it does. Really quick, what's the goal for Chicago Underground Library?
The goal for Chicago Underground Library is to try to use all this stuff to bring the city closer together. It's preservation, but it's also using this stuff for inspiration. So we do a lot of events and programming to get it out there. We collaborate with different arts groups, musicians, performance artists, everybody we possibly can who might have a different take on what's in our collection.
And how could people get involved? Because this is a great thing. You should go, even if you don't want to work and help out, you should still just go and check out the space itself. So let's plug.
Well, you can check out the space 3 days a week. We're open Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 5, Tuesday, 6 to 10 p.m. And we're located at 621 West Belmont on the
second floor. That's down the street.
It is. It's pretty far down the street, so I wouldn't recommend trying to walk.
You should walk it, everybody.
Yeah.
You should. I've done it. It's not bad.
Unless you want to stay fat and last longer in bed. Callback, everybody. That's a callback.
That is. You do hang out with a lot of stand-up comedians, don't you?
They don't scream out, transition, callback, punchline. They should, though. They really should, to make it clear for everybody.
I've heard that actually from way too many of them. So
callbacks?
Yes.
That's improv. I think you're hanging out with improvisers. How can people get involved?
People can get involved with the Chicago Underground Library either by coming to our cataloging socials, which are every Tuesday, 6 to 10. We also call those work locks because we like to name things ridiculous things that make you think they're really exciting. Even though work locks doesn't sound all that exciting, but I promise you it is because we have a lot of people who bake. We do have free Wi-Fi and free coffee. So if you're looking for a way to get out of the house, if you're a student or if you're a writer, or if you knit, or if you just need to, you know, go somewhere, come hang out at the library. Look at what we've got. It's really awesome. Drink some coffee. Work on your computer. You can also email us. We have bookmarks over on the bar right there. We have
for the listener.
For the listener.
For the listener, what can they do?
What the listener can do is email us at info@underground-library.org, or they can just Google,
find
us.
You couldn't have made it info@cul.org? You had to go all the
no,
way?
No, I'm sure someone probably owns the ass.
So pretty much Google ass and see what comes up.
Yeah. I would just recommend that no matter what. But we have an amazing volunteer community. A few of them are here in the room tonight, and hopefully a few more will listen. But we maintain an active volunteer community of over 100 people. I know that sounds like a lot, and it is, and it's amazing. We have artists, librarians, all sorts of really awesome people who work with us, everyone from 15 years old to 60. And that's not necessarily where we draw the line, but just to give you an idea, we're a huge community of really awesome folks,
so
and I love them all.
So all those 10-year-olds and 70-year-olds out there listening, come on by.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get along really well.
Skew the age even more. This is a great thing to get involved with if you're single and if you're new to town. If you don't have a lot of friends, if you're miserable, if you're happy, go to the fucking event, okay? It's really good. She's nice, okay, everybody? I'm not nice. I'm an asshole. I want to be more like Nell. That's not a joke. Nell does amazing things. You should go support her. And Nell, we're going to close this interview like we close every interview when I remember the book, from a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. So, Nell, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 260.
72.
Why does everyone pause so much? Like they haven't... Whatever.
I'm just feeling bad because I nagged the 70-year-old, so...
No. I think you picked 72 because you like William the Refrigerator Perry.
I am a lifelong Chicagoan, so.
There you go. I'm glad you knew who he was. I was like, a literary person.
The fridge.
Yeah, the fridge. He had his action figure, his own G.I. Joe action figure, yeah. Everybody.
He wants you to drink milk.
Was it in the shape of a fridge?
It was not in the shape of a fridge. Oh. His power was diabetes, so 72. What was the luckiest thing that ever happened to you?
Oh, man. Jeez. All I can think of are the really unlucky things because
what was
I've
the unluckiest thing that happened to you? Question
well,
73.
Really, I was run over by a bus.
She was. Oh she was run over by a bus. That's not a joke.
I'm not
she
lying.
Almost died. She literally almost died. That's insane. I knew you and that. I can't. And you never even got paid, did you?
No.
The city totally fucked Nell. No joke. And she still lives here. She's insane, man. And she's nice. What's wrong with... Did the bus hit your head in a way where you can't be angry at people? How did this happen?
Unless my brain is somewhere in my knee, which I wouldn't know because it's still so swollen after all these years.
Oh, my... Yeah, she literally got hit by a bus, everybody. So if you don't go to an event, you're just an awful human being.
And there are still people, believe it or not, who tell me I was lucky. So
those are called religious people.
There are.
Yeah. They're usually poor, okay?
Yeah.
Let's give Nell some gifts.
You get some presents. Here's Barry Young's Show Me the Way to the Library.
That's right. See? That's your new theme song.
And
wait, you're lying.
No, yeah. It says right
no,
there.
No, wait. Where?
No, it doesn't say to
it
the
doesn't
library.
Say to the library.
Okay.
I said that.
That bus
That's
really
my
worked.
Line.
They're Jerome Bettis, everybody.
It
Jerome
says,
Bettis,
show me
the bus
way
hit.
To Barry Young.
Yeah, show me the way to the
show
library.
Me the way to Barry Young.
If you want, I can write to the library on
it
for
you. I would
love
that, actually.
Okay, I'll do that later.
Got a lot of demands.
I
and then this little toy. It's an Hakuna Matata, and then you can make it a puppet, too. And then
Sweet.
You push the button, and it talks. So while you're at the library...
When I'm at the library every Saturday by myself, because we need more people to show up on Saturdays and keep
She got
company.
Hit by a bus!
I will be there talking to this and
so
thinking
hoping...
about how I got hit by a bus unless you come and keep me company on Saturdays.
She got hit by Jerome Bettis, old running back for the Steelers. That's his nickname, The Bus. Listen.
Didn't know that
one. My football ephemera only goes so far.
I like the one guy. Yep, that's his name. Ladies and gentlemen, please clap for Nell Taylor, Jeremy Traumer. Play some beautiful piano. All right, everybody. Nell Taylor. Wasn't Nell great? You should all go and check out the Chicago Underground Library. Just Google that, because I'm really bad at remembering URLs. I don't even know what the acronym stands for. Please don't yell it out. Please don't yell it out. I don't care.
Rubes.
Google. All right. Our next comedian coming to the stage, our next guest is coming to the stage, is a stand-up comedian. And I'm not trying to be modest or bragging, I should say, but this guy's going places. He was just in The Tonight Show. And now he's at the Hungry Brain, which means his career is in an awful, awful spiral. Coming to the stage, everybody, please clap for Michael Palasek, everybody.
Thanks. All right. What's up? How's it going? I like my career. Thanks. I enjoy doing stand-up. My first job ever was horrible. My non-stand-up job. I worked at a graveyard. A horrible job, graveyard, weed whacker to be specific. It's horrible. I was in high school. I was like 17. I was like, oh, I have my whole life to live. Then I did the math on some of the gravestones. Maybe not. All my friends already had jobs. They didn't know where I was working yet. They got really excited. They're like, Michael, you got a job? When are you going to hook me up? I was like, when you die. I didn't get free stuff. I was good. That's the point of that. All my friends, like, they worked at like fast food places, like, and they get to bring home free food from work. Like, their parents, I bet, were always excited to see them when they came home from work, because they get to have food. Like, oh, you're home from work, yeah? Did you bring home free food? Of course they did. Oh, we're so happy to see you. Sit down. Tell us about your dreams. Yeah. I come home from work. I'm just like, hey, Mom. Home from the graveyard. I got you some flowers. They say, Mom. Yeah, it had her name on it. I was scared at first. I was like, I can't be the same mom. I know I sleep at work. I couldn't have been out that long. It's okay. We're Catholic. It's a beginning. My mom's an Irish Catholic, so she's super Catholic. She wears a cape. I wonder if my brother's right. Did something wrong when we were kids? That's when all the religious rage would come out, you know? She'd be like, who broke the fishbowl? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. My brother'd be like, wow, we should go tell her it was us. I'd be like, no, we're not even one of the top three suspects. We're not even in the lineup yet. We're fine. Shut up, all right? We're Catholic. Jesus died for our sins. He won't mind taking the heat on a fishbowl. It's kind of, religion's a weird thing, I guess. Like, as a kid, you don't really notice it. You must notice it when you're a baby. Like, you get baptized as a baby. Like, the only two people you know and love are all of a sudden apparently drowning you. That's gotta be scary. I'm drowning. No, I believe whatever you want. Just stop. Okay. Then you get older and the rules are harder to follow. Like you're not, if you're Catholic, you're not supposed to have sex until you get married, which is good, I guess, if you don't have kids or get diseases. But what happens if you die before you get married? That's not fair. Then you go to heaven a virgin and you might have to have sex with a terrorist. Yeah. I don't make the rules. I just mix them up in my head. I don't know. It's cool, though. I've been traveling more. I saw this bumper sticker the other day. It said, red, white, and blue. These colors don't run. I was like, yeah, we live in one of the most obese countries in the world. We don't run or jump or swim. One guy swims. He wins all the medals. We just watch and then get mad at him for celebrating. Yeah. He's got big lungs. Let him put it in there what he wants. I don't know. It's hard to eat healthy. Everyone wants to eat healthy. It's hard. I like Dunkin' Donuts a lot. Am I allowed to say that? Stores, product names?
Yeah. America runs on Dunkin', everybody. Okay, America runs on Dunkin'.
I should get paid. Or you should buy them. Anyways. It's weird. I went in one the other day. The little jar in front of the register. It said tips for exceptional service. So I was like, what? How do you exceptionally serve a donut? I was all scared. I was like, what's that going to be like? I'd be like, I'd like a Long John. He's like, it's already in your hand. I did a thing with my fingers like a wizard. That's for the radio part. I don't know. I'm horrible at golf. My mom got me this book to help me out. It's called Learn to Play Golf in a Weekend. Yeah, I was like, Mom, that's nice, but kind of unrealistic. There's no way that in a weekend I'm going to read a book. It's the weekend. I'm barely going to read the back of a Fruit Loops box. Find these lemons? I don't think so, Toucan Sam. Yeah. It's Saturday. It's nice. As part of my job, I can reference a cartoon character and everything's okay. And everyone's kind of happy. Well, maybe not everybody. Not everybody can do that with their job. Like, most people can't. Like, say, you're an executive for a major oil company and you have a problem. You can't do that. Like, you're like, oh, look, we spilled some oil. Where is it? Under the sea. Under the sea. It's not better. You should get married on land. I don't know. It's cool. I travel, like I said. I went to Iowa. I'm from a small town originally in Indiana, so I like my small town. It was fun. I liked it. I don't like other people's small towns because I get lost and everything's closed. And I don't know anybody and food is gone. Like, I was driving there over the summer through Iowa. I get stuck in this town. I get detoured one way, then another way. Then next thing you know, I'm driving in a parade. I'm not prepared for that. I don't have candy. Now I'm dodging Shriners. That's not something. I don't know. My small town, I like. It's weird growing up in a small town because everyone still tries to be cool in high school, but no one really knows how. You know, like one of my friends, my junior in high school, got a hoop earring in one ear, which is fine. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Next week he came back, he had a hoop earring in the other ear, too. I was like, oh, someone's not sure about something. I must inquire. I was like, why do you have a hoop earring in one ear? Now both. He's like, well, they say if you get a hoop earring in one ear, that means you're gay. If you get a hoop earring in both ears, that means you're straight. I was like, I don't know if that's true. But that's a great way to sell earrings. Yeah. They should do that with other products, right? Like, how many iPhones do you want? Just one? Oh, so you like guys. I will get you a different salesperson. I have an older brother who was, he's 3 years older than me, and I was a freshman and he was a senior in high school. It's hard getting attention from women when there's like a full-grown version of you walking around like at the same time. You know, they're like, oh, Michael's cute. There's a man. That's hard. I guess, yeah, whatever. My younger brother is the most athletic. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to relate to. He's a nice person, but sometimes, like, he played Division I college football. He'd call me up and be like, Michael, guess what? I just bench pressed 405 pounds. Oh, I just didn't. That's why I didn't call you yet, because I didn't do that yet. I just ate an apple and I'm kind of allergic to it, so I gotta go. I don't know. I have a lot of food allergies. The doctor told me the reason I ate an apple, my mouth swells up and it's hard to breathe. It's because my body sees an apple as a foreign substance. And that's the way my body reacts to protect itself, is by swelling up and making it hard to breathe. My body's an idiot. That's a horrible security system. I would never purchase that for anything. How does this car alarm work? Well, it locks you inside and then it explodes. What? Yeah, it locks you in and then that sounds like it'll kill me. Yeah, but nothing else will touch you. That's a good point. I should buy that one. That's a really good point. Sometimes I feel like I feel bad for the wrong people, you know? Like last year when Brett Favre didn't get to the Super Bowl, I felt really sad because he was old and it was his last chance. Even though I've never even come close to something like that, I felt bad. But then when my friends tell me about poverty in South America, I'm like, Brett Favre. So I'm trying to feel better about that, so I just watched the show Extreme Makeover Home Edition, which it doesn't help anybody, but it makes me feel like I'm helping, which counts. And I don't know if you've seen the show, they take a home and they make it over and it's extreme. And I'm really good at describing things, English major. And it's well, my problem with the show is that you know if you're redoing your house, you're never going to get a house that's bigger than a bus. That part sucks. Hey, everything's hidden behind a bus. Move that bus. Ah, it has to hide the house. When you leave and then they fix it, you're like, well, it's going to fit behind that. So it's whatever. And secondly, the way to get on the most people get on the show is by submitting a tape, a videotape of themselves and their situation. ABC, real poor people don't have access to camera equipment. I don't know if you know that. Just a thought. I was an English major in college. They make you read a lot. I had to read this one book, 1984. Yeah. Man, things were so different back then. That was a weird year. I'm gonna end this really soon. I miss Tiger Woods being in commercials. So they were always really inspiring. Right. Tiger Woods commercials. There was one I remember with a bunch of little kids, and they're all like, I'm Tiger Woods. I'm Tiger Woods. I'm Tiger Woods. At the time, I was like, oh, that's a metaphor for being a competitor. Now I'm thinking those were his kids. All right, thanks. I'm Michael Palasak. Thank you, Brandon.
You're funny. Michael, you're funny.
Thanks, Brandon.
Michael is a successful comedian, and he goes out on the road and plays colleges and goes on The Tonight Show.
That's exactly my job description.
How do I do that?
How do you specifically?
How do me specifically? Do I, first of all, should I say things like, how do me specifically?
That,
I think that's going to hurt me.
That could be a thing.
I could do blue collar comedy if I say things like that.
Don't do that. I'm sorry. It's not. No, if you do that, that's fine. I'm not judging that kind of comedy.
You're so nice. You don't have any enemies, do you?
I think I do somewhere.
But those are just jealous people.
Maybe.
Have you been mean to anyone ever?
Yeah. I think when you're a kid, you're mean a lot.
That was the last... I could name it like 6 hours ago. I could name like 4 people I was mean to. Do you think I should take drugs or something? Drugs?
I'm not a doctor.
You aren't a doctor. You're a funny comedian.
Thanks.
How was the Tonight Show?
Oh, it was really, really fun. They were really nice to me. I feel like it sounded like I was lying. I wasn't. They were really nice.
Yeah, yeah. The other guests on the show were Steve Carell and Jane Lynch.
Yeah. So it's a lot like this show, you know?
See, that was me setting you up, and that's you knocking it out of the park. That's called banter.
Yeah.
Who's better at banter, me or Leno?
Me!
Me!
That was really good banter.
Thank you. There you go. I did it to myself. I don't even need that. What's the goal? You're doing something that's... You're out on the road.
Yeah.
I follow him on Facebook, and every single update's him in an airport or him in a fast food place in, like, Idaho. It's very odd to know someone that's doing this.
Oh, thanks, I guess. No, that's a good compliment. It's really weird knowing you.
It is. You're successful.
Oh.
I love these people, but come on, man.
This is awesome. You have a stage and a show. There's Pac-Man right by your desk.
That's true.
Who gets to work like that?
It's off. That's the thing.
I
no
noticed
one.
That earlier.
That's the only reason why they're here. They're all waiting to play Pac-Man. I'm holding it hostage.
Yeah.
So is the goal for you to afford a Pac-Man machine?
That's a funny story.
Is that actually a story?
I bought an NFL Blitz machine recently.
That NFL Blitz was essentially like NBA Jam,
yeah,
but for football. NFL. It's amazing.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I live with my parents, which I don't know if we mentioned earlier.
Okay, we need to qualify this. He lives with his parents. He's on the road all the time. It
all
doesn't
time
make sense.
Road.
He's not
doesn't
a sad failure.
Not
okay?
a sad failure.
That's all I'm saying.
All he's saying. And... So I was visiting my brother in Cincinnati, Ohio, where he lives, and they were taking, like, the church that they got married at was having a big festival and was to raise money, and I didn't know about these festivals. It's like Vegas, but you feel better about yourself, because it's like gambling, like you're betting, you're playing blackjack and poker, and every time you lose, the money's going back to wherever, but
nice,
if you win,
nice.
You get to take it with you, and then I was
like, wait, what about Native Americans? That's like gambling anywhere. Don't you feel better about all your guilt?
Oh, gambling with Native Americans.
Yeah. Not with, but at Indian casinos.
In Indian casinos.
Yeah.
I never even thought about it like that.
Now you're just going to be a gambler.
Now I'm going to be a gambler.
Yeah, you'll always feel good about losing money.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm sorry I derailed. Back on track.
No, it's okay. You got... I didn't even think about that demographic when I was feeling good about gambling.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. No, so they also had a silent auction, and we had been buying drinks to help support the church,
mm-hmm.
and I drank a lot, and then I bid on a NFL Blitz video game machine, and I won it.
How much?
That's personal information.
No, how much exactly, and how much do you make a year, and do you believe in God, and why?
Oh, wow.
And how do you vote? We're going to close this interview like we close every interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions. By Gregory Stock, PhD. It's quite an awful book. If you were a child and asked these questions, you will question life, and no 6-year-old should ever question life. So please, Michael, pick a number between 1 and 260.
3.
Thank you for making it quick. You don't care? I love it. Okay. If your mother promised to be home at 2 in the afternoon to take you to the movies but didn't show up until supper time and didn't even phone, what would be a good punishment for her? Would punishing her be likely to make her on time in the future? Who the fuck would punishing her be likely to make her on time in the future? You're an English major. What an awful worded sentence.
That's a horribly worded sentence.
Isn't it?
It's ridiculously horribly worded sentence.
How would you punish your own mother? Let's make it weird.
How do we live in a world where we can punish our mothers? I need to know that question because I'm a child and I'm really creative. Secondly, how would I punish my own mother? Well, if she doesn't love me, then that's her thing. That's her own punishment.
We have gifts for Michael.
We have a 45 of Vincent Bell's Airport Love Theme.
Oh my God.
Because you're in airports.
Wow, that's so Cool. Does this work in CD?
No. Good. We gave him a 45. The difference between you and other comics is when we give them 45s, they're really excited because that's what they're going to do cocaine off of later. But you don't, and that's why you're on The Tonight Show.
And then also to pass the time, what is this? I don't even know. It's a guidebook to the I Ching. It's on tape.
Is that a guidebook?
Isn't it?
No.
I don't know.
What's I Ching?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you'll find out when you listen to it.
There you go.
While you're on an airplane.
Michael, let's
tape,
plug some stuff. Where are you going to be? This is going to go up this week, so where are you going to be after, let's say, Thursday?
Well, let's see. Next week?
Yes.
Next week in California, I'll be at the Hollywood Improv on Tuesday
Christ,
night.
You're successful. I like how you just laugh it off. Like, this is normal. How does someone stay on track? This is mind-blowing, and I'm going to drink a lot tonight and just hate you for being so nice and successful.
That's the nicest thing anyone ever said by using the word hate in it.
I went to Catholic school, by the way, so that's where all this stems from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Hollywood Improv.
Hollywood Improv, Tuesday night at 10 p.m., and then next Wednesday, let's see, Wednesday and Thursday... I'll be at Zanies in St. Charles. Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Zanies in St. Charles. And then Friday, I think, Zanies in Vernon Hills. Yeah, that's how it is.
Holy shit, you're doing this.
I'm doing
this. This is your life.
It's becoming it.
That's insane. Ladies and gentlemen, please clap.
Thanks, Brandon.
For Michael Palasek. Jared the Trumper. All right, everybody, we are back, and I am talking to Kenneth Ramey. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
Kenneth Ramey from the band Tangleweed. Tangleweed, I'm holding their album. Most folk heroes started out as criminals. I have four of these tracks, two of which are You Meet Them Everybody Chicago Music podcast episodes, and two of which are instrumentals that I've been using in between the regular podcast, and I love all of them.
Thank you.
Good job. You know you're not from the South, right? You're from Chicago. Yet you play music that sounds like dumb people play it.
We were arguing out back who was going to do the interview, and I said Billy should do it because he's an Ivy League dropout.
Is he really?
Yes, but I'm a PhD dropout.
So. You're a PhD dropout. How does that make you feel when you play... I love this music, by the way. I'm not insulting them. I'm insulting myself for my stupid stereotypes about certain types of music, okay? These guys are great. What made you want to play this type of music? Well, describe the type of music. I consider it bluegrass. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I mean, we're not exactly a bluegrass band. I think we're more of a string band, but nobody really knows what that is, so you can say bluegrass.
So what is a string band?
A band that's comprised of string instruments playing American vernacular music.
That's good.
So yeah, but that doesn't really have any zing.
Nope, means nothing to me.
No, so there we go. So let's move on.
Okay. How long have you guys been around?
We got together about 6 years ago.
Why do you still do it?
I'm wondering.
That's right. The gentleman in the band said, I'm wondering that. He wasn't on microphone. These string bands don't know how to use microphones because they're dumb. That's what I'm saying. No.
No, we have a good time.
Do you hate me yet?
No.
You should.
But, you know, I grew up on fanzines and punk rock.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No, I love this type of music. How'd you start playing it? What was the inspiration? Awful question. What was the inspiration? I'm sorry.
I mean, I was really into the Meat Puppets when I was growing up.
Yeah, and Touch Me, I'm Sick sounds... No, I'm thinking of Mudhoney. I'm sorry. I already ruined the fucking insult, so continue. I'll shut up.
Yeah, I was really into Meat Puppets, and I got interested in where some of their stuff was coming from, and I got into a guitar player named Doc Watson after that, and got interested where his stuff was coming from, and sort of traced it further and further back until all I was listening to was scratchy old 78s from the 20s.
So what I should learn about tonight's episode is stop judging people before they open their mouth, because they probably have an interesting story, and it's positive. Like your story, sir. You've inspired me.
It's vaguely positive.
No, it's very positive.
It doesn't end tragically.
Yet.
Yet.
Let's try to change that tonight. You guys are going to play for us?
We're going
to
play for you. We have with us... We have our fine fiddle player, Mr. Billy O.
Billy O, everybody clap for Billy O. Your name's Billy Ocean. You're like Billy Ocean.
On bass, we have Mr. Paul Wargowski.
I can't make a pun out of that name.
And playing guitar for us tonight, playing the role of our guitar player Scott Judd, is Mr. John Williams.
Because Scott Judd's busy with the Judd sisters.
Scott Judd is sick.
Winona Judd. That's a person.
Yeah.
The PhD dropouts don't even know celebs. You don't like celebs?
I'm down
with gossip
celebs.
Mags?
I'm down
all
with
I
gossip
hear
mags.
Gossip mags. and listen to Tangleweed while I do so.
All right.
Do you feel comfortable at all?
I have never been interviewed in front of a live audience before.
Isn't it weird? It's kind of great. Trust me.
Yeah.
They like you. Me? No. They like you. You're doing great, man.
All right.
You are. I'm proud of you. Seriously, though, do you hate me?
No.
Okay, good. I like you guys a lot. I don't want you to hate me. And if you do, well, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
We'll get you after the show.
I got to be nicer like you guys, man. Is this weirder yet? Is it making it weirder?
You're making me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. You got a mandolin there, right?
I do.
I love mandolins. I got a mandolin. I suck.
Do you really?
Yeah. I don't know what I'm playing. It's hard to play a poor-sounding song on a mandolin. Such a beautiful instrument. Let's talk about gear.
All right.
Esmeralda's got gifts for you. What do we got?
I'm a total gear slut.
You get a 45 of There'll Always Be Honky Tonks in Texas.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's applicable.
Yeah.
All right,
and
by Johnny Rodriguez.
This is a piece of cloth with some hummingbirds and crap on it. You can hang it in your practice space.
Yay!
It's for everyone to look at.
And we're going
to
end this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock.
Sweet.
PhD.
42.
There you go. I like you, buddy. Is that because you really respect Jackie Robinson?
And Douglas Adams.
Wait, why did Douglas Adams get just as much of a yeah as Jackie Robinson?
They're equally important.
They are. Well, I don't know if they're equally important. One could hit a ball. I'm just saying. Okay.
All right, 42.
Imagine that your principal told you she wanted to make school better and would change it in any one way you suggested. What would you tell her to do? By the way, why does it gotta be a lady principal? Sexist book. So you got a sexist lady principal. What you gonna tell this broad to do?
How old am I?
Now.
Right now?
You're getting your PhD and you have a principal for some reason because you go to a really weird university.
I'd say just give it to me.
Give you what? Give it to you. You're going to bang her? Why are you banging all these principals?
No, it's just cut the formalities. Just give me the degree. We'll save
ourselves
a lot of trouble.
Oh, degrees. I like the banging explanation more. Could you write a song about that? I'm going to bang this principal into giving me a PhD. Did I just name your next album?
I think you did.
I think the cover could be that shitty print she just gave you.
We're working on our fourth record right now.
I think I named it, everybody.
We need titles.
So. I just gave it to you. I'm banging this principal so she gives me a PhD.
All right.
In dick. All right, everybody. Tangleweed's going to play. Please put your hands together for Tangleweed. Don't leave yet. Give us a few minutes and we're going to get this show on the road. Music of Jeremy Tromberg, everybody. Jeremy Tromberg is in a great, great, great band named The Ragtones, and he's also in Otter Petter, and those are two of my favorite Chicago bands, so go check out Otter Petter and The Ragtones featuring Jeremy Tromberg. Tangleweed, you guys ready?
We are.
Without further ado, everybody, the music of Tangleweed. Tangleweed.
One, two, three, four.
If you see that girl of mine way up in Nickel Town, tell her I've been falling apart since the last time she came round. For I still walk a straight line, I still sleep alone, and that I'm gonna call her up and they reconnect my phone. Well, I've been broken, hungry, I've been sleeping on the floor. If I could live my life again, wouldn't live it in New York. Wish I had a nickel, wish I had a dime, wish that I could leave this place and see you one more time. Darling, where you been so long, long, long? Darling, where you been so long? Darling, where you been so long, long, long? Darling, where you been so long? Went down to the depot past the people huddled around, waiting for the day to come when something trickles down. The damn last old dollar I took an all-night ride. 12 hours on a trailways bus to sleep here by your side. Darling, where you been so long, long, long? Darling, where you been so long? Darling, where you been so long, long, long? Darling, where you been so long? Darling, where you been so long, long, long? Darling, where you been so long? Darling, where you been so long, long, long? Darling, where you been so long?
So about 10 years ago, I published a book of transcriptions of old-time music, and this tune was in there, and the people who published the book, who I won't name except that they're the same people who published Learn to Play the Mel Bayway, thought that the last verse was so filthy that they wouldn't include it in the book, and so they expunged it from the volume, but we're going to play it for y'all tonight so that you can... appreciate it in all its filthy glory. All right. One, two, three. You gotta pick poor Robin clean. Pick poor Robin clean. I picked the head, I picked the feet. I would've picked the body, but it wasn't fit to eat. You gotta pick poor Robin clean. Pick poor Robin clean, cause I'll be satisfied having your family. Or get off my money. Now don't get funny. Some old slacker, Buckeye cracker, or gambling for Sadie. She is my lady. Well, I'm a hustling fool. That's just what I am. You gotta pick poor Robin clean. You gotta pick poor Robin clean. Pick poor Robin clean, so I'll be satisfied having your family. That jaybird laugh when he picked poor Robin clean. He picked poor Robin clean. He picked poor Robin clean. Oh, didn't that jaybird laugh when he picked poor Robin clean? Cause I'll be satisfied having your family. You gotta pick poor Robin clean. Pick poor Robin clean. I pick the head, pick the feet. I would've picked the body, but one fit to each. You gotta pick poor Robin clean. Pick poor Robin clean, cause I'll be satisfied having your family. Here's the dirty one. Now if you got it, I got a mind, I'm gonna have your mom and your sister too and your auntie three. And if your great-grandmammy don't chivalry, I'm gonna have her four, cause I'm satisfied having your family. You gotta pick poor Robin clean. Pick poor Robin clean. I pick the head, I pick the feet. I would've picked the body, but it wouldn't fit to each. You gotta pick poor Robin clean. Pick poor Robin clean, cause I'll be satisfied having your family. Yeah, I'm satisfied having your family.
All right.
Hey, my beer's over here.
So then next song is about a fox. For some reason, I like songs about furry creatures. It's not a fetish or anything. It's just cute, you know?
Yeah, that'd make you a furry.
It's really a children's song, so... The fox went out on a chilly night, and he prayed for the moon to give him light. For it many a mile ago that night, before he reached the town, oh, town, oh, town, oh. And many a mile ago that night, before he reached the town, oh. He ran until he reached the farmer's pen. The ducks and the geese were kept there, and he said, a couple of you are gonna grease my chin before I leave this town, oh, town, oh, town, oh. A couple of you are gonna grease my chin before I leave this town, oh. Grabbed the great goose by the neck, and I threw a duck across his back. Hit in a mind, the quack, 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 oh, the legs all dangling down, oh, down, oh, down, oh. Hit in a mind, the quack, quack, oh, the legs all dangling down, oh. The old gray woman jumped out of bed, and out the window she popped her head, crying, John, John, the great goose is gone, and the fox is on the town, oh, town, oh, town, oh. John, John, the great goose is gone, and the fox is on the town, oh. Warm den, and there were the little ones, 8, 9, 10, crying, Daddy, Daddy, better go back again, for it must be a mighty fine town, oh, town, oh, town, oh, Daddy, Daddy, go back again, for it must be a mighty fine town, oh. The fox and his wife, without any strife, cut up that goose with a fork and a knife, and they never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones, oh, bones, oh, bones, oh, they never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones.
I'm gonna lay down my old guitar. Gonna lay down my old guitar. Well, I wish I could tie it to my side and take it along. I'm sick and lonesome bed. I'm sick and lonesome bed. There's no one to hold my aching head. I'm sick and lonesome bed. There's no one to cry for me. No one to cry for me. But I've traveled the whole wide world, can't you see? There's no one. Cry for me. Thank you. goodbye. I'm telling the world goodbye. I'm telling the world and my dear little girl. Telling the world goodbye.
That's John Williams on the guitar back there. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, please, please keep clapping for Tangleweed. Go out and pick up their record. Most folk heroes started out as criminals. Tangleweed, if you want to be the soundtrack of my life and just follow me around, you'd make my life better. It's an open invitation. Everything would just feel so much better. I love that. Anytime you want to put up with my abuse, come on back. I loved having you. I want to thank Tangleweed. Excuse me. Whiskey makes you burp. I want to thank Michael Palasek. Very, very funny man. And I want to thank Nell Taylor. Every single person besides me makes this entire world better. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good evening. Hopefully we'll see you next time. And thank you so much.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.